This episode of the Tech Central podcast is brought to you by Pinnacle, Africa's top ICT distribution business, delivering the exceptional every time. I'm Duncan MacLeod and you're listening to the Tech Central podcast. I'm on an internet call now to Melrose Arch to chat to Joshua Miltz, co-founder of a new South African cryptocurrency platform called Bitfund. Welcome to the podcast, Josh. Now, you're calling this a cryptocurrency platform rather than an exchange specifically. Please explain the difference.
Yeah, sure. Thanks very much for having me on, Duncan.
Pleasure.
The big difference between us and a cryptocurrency exchange is that a cryptocurrency exchange simply facilitates trade between users on that exchange. So if it's crypto-to-crypto trading, you may see users who want to sell Bitcoin and acquire Ethereum trading with each other. But what we are is an investment platform. So we make use of exchanges to offer our product. But what our product is much more of a diversified portfolio of cryptocurrencies rather than a place to buy and sell cryptocurrencies. Now, what that means is if you're a person who wants to sort of get into cryptocurrencies and you want to gain some exposure to this new asset class, but you don't necessarily know which cryptocurrency you want to buy, you just know it's a very interesting industry and you want to get in on it, then buying a cryptocurrency index is a very good way to do that. And that's exactly what Bitfund offers. We currently have three portfolios on our platform. We've got a balanced 10 portfolio, which offers the top 10 cryptocurrencies weighted by market cap. We've got an equal 10 portfolio, which is the top 10 cryptocurrencies. Those are 10% each. And then we've also got the capped 20 portfolio, which is a market cap weighted top 20 cryptocurrencies, where no cryptocurrency will have more than 15% in it. So what you can see immediately is that there's a big difference between that and an exchange. All you have to do here is buy into the portfolio and you immediately get exposure to this wide variety of cryptocurrencies.
So the idea then, I guess, is to try and lessen your exposure to one particular cryptocurrency.
Definitely. And we see the exact same pattern in traditional markets with ETF type products, unit trusts. The whole point of those is to get a diversified exposure to a particular industry. And that's exactly what we try to achieve with our portfolios on the Bitfund platform.
And do you actively manage these portfolios? Do you apply insight into these particular crypto coins and where you think some might outperform others? You'd increase exposure to particular assets.
We never make any investment decisions on behalf of our clients. So our portfolios are very passive. They're not actively managed. So we're not buying and selling and trading on behalf of our customers. Instead, what we've done is we've created these portfolios which are passive in nature, where they're sort of, no one's making up their mind for you, including yourself. You're just buying the market. So, for example, if you're buying the balanced 10, which is the top 10 cryptocurrencies weighted by market cap, then your exposure to a specific cryptocurrency is governed by the market cap of that cryptocurrency. So if Bitcoin increases in value and everything else stays stable, then that means the market cap of Bitcoin has proportionally increased. And as a result, your portfolio is going to end up having a higher weighting in Bitcoin. But that's decided by the market. It's not decided by us, and it's not decided by our clients.
Understood. So I'd imagine that Bitcoin is the biggest cryptocurrency, would be the biggest asset, if I can use that word, in the portfolio.
Yes, definitely. So in a balanced 10 and the capped 20, that is true. So in the balanced 10, because Bitcoin is quite dominant at the moment, it sits at over 50% of the portfolio. The capped 20, for example, is capped at 15%. So Bitcoin won't exceed 15%. And as a result, you will get a higher exposure to the other cryptocurrencies that are sort of further down on the list. But anything that's market cap weighted definitely shows a Bitcoin dominance at the moment.
I see. Okay. So, Josh, your co-founders are Jonathan Ferrer, Bradley Goldman, and Dion Joffe. Who are you guys?
Yes,
how did you meet, and how did the idea for Bitfund come about?
Yeah, so we actually all went to school together, and we independently from that got involved in cryptocurrencies in our own right. So about 2 years ago, we were all playing in the crypto space. Some of us were trading, some of us were researching. And when we sort of got together one day and we decided amongst ourselves, in our personal capacity, we want to buy a bunch of cryptocurrencies all together. So we all pulled a little bit of money together and we decided we don't really know which cryptos are going to do well, which ones aren't. So we're going to try to do exactly what an index product tries to do, which is buy the market. So what we did is we opened up various accounts on different international exchanges. We took the money that we had pulled and we bought the different cryptocurrencies. What we realized very quickly was that it was a complete logistical nightmare in terms of accounting, figuring out who owns what, figuring out how our portfolios were performing, making sure we didn't make any mistakes when transferring the cryptocurrencies, which is an irreversible transaction. These mistakes were made and we felt the pain that sort of anyone feels if they're trying to do something like this. And that's exactly the process that led us to creating a product like Bitfund, which sort of solves the exact problem that we were trying to solve ourselves. And that sort of inspired this this business. And it was quite funny because we sort of independently came to that came to the conclusion that we needed something like this. But from there, we just got cracking.
What are your backgrounds? Are you in from diverse fields? Did you all are you all in from the same? Did you all work for the same company at one point?
We didn't. So we are all actually from very different fields. I'm a software engineer by background. My co-founders are an actuarial analyst, and a candidate attorney, and an accountant. So obviously these four skill sets are very relevant, each in their own right, to a product like this. And it's been absolutely paramount to our success because without any one of us, we would have struggled in a million ways.
Sure, sure. So is this have you self-funded this? Have you got investors on board?
We do have investors on board, some amazing investors who are very hands-on, actually. We've got Stefan Lisichnik. He's from an open source, a massive open source tech company called LSD Technologies. They're doing some incredible work in the open source space. We've got Richard Cohen. He's from Grey Matter Thinking. He's very much involved in finance and investments. He consults with major banks in South Africa and globally. And various different financial institutions. And also Nathan Pollock, who started a business called Innovate, which is partially owned by Investec. They take young entrepreneurs from South Africa to different countries around the world to see what's going on in the startup space and what can we learn and bring home to South Africa, to our entrepreneurial space. And so our three shareholders have their own skill sets that are obviously also very relevant to a business like ours. And we've definitely leveraged off that.
Is it the right time to be launching this sort of platform? I mean, looking at how the value of cryptocurrencies, Bitcoin and others, have come off since let's call it the frothiness at the end of December 2017. Mm. There's been a huge destruction in value. Is it the right time to be launching a platform like this, given the uncertainty about crypto as an asset class?
I think historically you have to look at sort of the volatility that has been in the industry because of how new it is. So it's almost impossible to figure out what's the right time to get into a market that is so young like this. We take the view that we believe very thoroughly in the technology and how groundbreaking it is. And so for us, it's much less about the time of entry, and it's much less about the short-term gains or losses, and it's much more about the bigger picture. If you want some exposure to this incredible new technology, is there a bad time? That's for you to decide.
Sure.
But specifically about the timing, I suppose an alternative would have been to launch in December, like many businesses actually did, and that would have been a lot worse.
Right. Okay. So take me through a bit more about what Bitfund offers exactly. You're offering access to about 20 of the largest digital currencies worldwide. How did you choose the specific currencies that you chose? Was it specifically based on their market capitalization? And then what can potential investors do with a platform, and why would they use Bitfund over one of the many crypto exchanges out there?
So to a large extent, we did base the cryptos that we offer on the platform on the market cap. So we didn't. We wanted to make sure that any crypto that's on the Bitfund platform has sufficient volume, trading volume, and sort of activity around the world so that we would never struggle to buy or sell any of it. And from there, we basically audit each cryptocurrency. So we don't say this cryptocurrency is good, this cryptocurrency is bad. We basically just do a sort of internal audit to make sure it's not a scam, it's not going to disappear in a day. Those risks are always still there to some extent, but it's drastically reduced if you do some due diligence. And so we do that due diligence ourselves. And to a large extent, we do think we've got some very nice cryptocurrencies on our platform. And to give you an example of that, when we were opened up early access to our platform, which was before we were live to the public, one of the top contenders on CoinMarketCap by market cap was BitConnect. We recognized BitConnect, as I'm sure many did, as clearly a scheme of sorts, and so we didn't put it onto the platform, and I think we saved a couple of our early clients in that regard. But that's sort of the first step that we take to add a cryptocurrency onto our platform. Once you become a Bitfund client, you get a whole lot of value adds. So the biggest and the one that we've discussed the most is, of course, the diversification of your portfolio. So you're not just getting into one or two cryptocurrencies, you're getting into 10 or 20 cryptocurrencies. And so your risk of one specific cryptocurrency dragging your portfolio to near zero is almost completely gone. Because you've got this diversification. But there's a whole lot of other things that go into the product. A very important aspect is the rebalancing of portfolios. So as we've seen, the cryptocurrency market is a very volatile market. There's changes in the market all the time. And so if you don't rebalance your portfolio, what's going to happen is, for example, if you want a portfolio that's 50% made up of Ethereum, and Ethereum doubles in value over a week, and drastically outperforms everything else, then you're going to end up with a very high exposure to Ethereum, a lot more than you signed up for, basically. And now if you compound that sort of volatility over a couple months, what you can find is that your portfolio is very, very unbalanced. So what Bitfund does is we're connected to a bunch of international exchanges, and on a weekly to twice a month basis, we rebalance our clients' portfolios to bring them in line with the target weightings of that portfolio.
Okay.
There's a couple of benefits that we're able to offer as a result. Because we're hooked up to a bunch of exchanges, we can find the best price, we can trade at the lowest cost, and we save a lot on those types of fees that you would ordinarily incur if you were to do this yourself.
Understood.
One other thing that's definitely worth mentioning is how secure the cryptocurrencies are that Bitfund is in control of. So we employ a deep cold storage system, as we like to call it. 90% of client funds are, at all times, are stored in hardware wallets. I'm sure some of the listeners have seen those before. These hardware wallets are in turn stored in physical vaults, which are at financial institutions. So you don't run the risk of a hacking, for example, like we see in the news all the time. And you also don't run the risk of physical theft of the device because it is so secure. There's so many horror stories of people leaving their funds on an exchange and the exchange gets hacked and they lose everything, or they storing their private key themselves on their computer. They think everything is good, but then they get a virus on their laptop and their funds are gone. So these kind of risks are completely avoided to a very large extent.
All right. Okay. Are you able to provide any guarantees regarding the safety of your investments?
Unfortunately, because it is such a sort of new industry, it's very difficult to find insurers and sort of third parties who are able to sort of back it up. But we've taken the view that our systems are so secure, and we've taken the steps that are necessary to make sure that there's such low risk that you'd be so much better off storing your cryptocurrencies in our deep cold storage than you would to be leaving it on an exchange or storing it using a private key on your laptop, that sort of thing. There are always going to be technically minded people who are able to keep that level of security themselves, and for them they may want to hold their private keys themselves. But
can they do that if they want to?
They can't do that with our platform, since we do have to be able to have access to the cryptocurrencies to be able to actually make the trades for them to rebalance their portfolio. So if you're adamant about storing your cryptocurrencies yourself, it may not be the best solution for you. But to a large extent, we've seen that for many, it's the right way to go. And lastly, in terms of reporting, I mean, I'm sure many of the listeners have experienced how difficult it is to actually keep track, especially if you've got more than two or three cryptocurrencies, to keep track of your portfolio, where your cryptos are, how the performance is, and sort of where you stand on a day-to-day basis. Bitfund has a great online dashboard where you can see your holdings, you can see how things are moving. We've got transparency down to a trade-by-trade level of what's happening on your portfolio, and it's a really easy way to check how your portfolio is performing.
Sounds great. I just want to ask about the rebalancing of the portfolios, which you say happens weekly or fortnightly. What are the risks there from a security perspective? Maybe just walk me through the process. Do you go into this hardware, this physical vault, and take the hardware wallets and open them up? Or how do you do this rebalancing, and what are there any risks inherent in that, in doing that from a security perspective?
Good question. A very big benefit of ours is that we've got clients who have various different portfolios. So it's not everyone sort of on the same portfolio. And as a result, we can do, to a large extent, offsetting between users. So for example, if one of our users needs more Bitcoin in their portfolio and they want to get rid of some Ethereum, and another one of our users wants the opposite, then based on the latest market pricing, we can facilitate a completely free and offline trade between those two portfolios. And we only have to make a small net trade on the various international exchanges. So what this means is, because we always have a small amount of cryptocurrencies more easily accessible, what a typical rebalance looks like is we transfer a small amount of cryptocurrency onto the various exchanges that we're going to be using. And in that time, we make the trades. And as soon as the trades are done, the cryptos go straight back into cold storage. So there's a very small window on which your funds sit on an exchange. And as a result, there's a drastically decreased risk of losing a significant amount of money in an exchange hack.
Understood. Understood. Now, what happens if I decide to, I want to sell my crypto investments? What's the process involved there? How long would it take me to get my money out?
It takes, on average, less than one business day.
Okay.
So the process specifically is we will convert all your cryptocurrencies into Bitcoin. And at that point, you have the choice. You can either withdraw Bitcoin, and you'll provide us with a wallet address where we will transfer it to, or you'll provide us with South African banking details, and we'll sell your Bitcoin for you, and we will withdraw that Bitcoin.
Okay. Let's talk.
That's Rand, sorry.
Let's talk about the fee structure. I think one of the things that has put off potential investors in this space are some of the high fees charged by some exchanges. What does your fee structure look like? How does it work?
We've got a very simple fee structure. We charge a 2.4% annual asset management fee. Now, that annual asset management fee covers everything from maintaining our cold storage systems, the trades themselves, so you don't incur any further costs from trading. It's all included in our asset management fee, as well as all the admin that goes into to sort of running your portfolio. That's all covered by our annual asset management fee. And then there's a 1% exit fee when you withdraw, and that's obviously to cover the costs of liquidating your portfolio and transferring it back to you. But those two fees are the sum total of anything that you'll be charged by Bitfund. There's no hidden costs.
That's it.
That's it.
Yeah. Okay. Now, do you stick to crypto? I imagine you've built quite a powerful platform here that could do more than just crypto. Do you expand in time into broader asset management?
It's definitely something we're thinking about. We think in the future there's going to be a big market for portfolios that consist of not only cryptocurrency but also traditional types of assets. If you can run that on a platform like ours, where you can either customize your portfolio or you can buy into a portfolio that is sort of pre-specified, there's some really big opportunities there. So it's definitely something that we're thinking about. We think it will take time. But it's definitely not something that we're ruling out.
Sure. Are you focused on South African investors only, or is this meant to be a global proposition?
right now, the vast majority of our clients and our new signups are from South Africa, but we have positioned ourselves to run globally. We do accept international investors, and because cryptocurrencies by nature are decentralized and are global to a large extent, we think it's it would be crazy of us not to accept deposits in cryptocurrency from individuals from around the world.
How is a business like this regulated? Are you regulated in the same way as a traditional asset management business?
There are some substantial differences. So we are obviously governed by the Companies Act and various different frameworks in terms of money laundering and that sort of thing. But we've been dealing very closely with our lawyers from ENS and other global law firms to make sure that in a largely unregulated industry, we're doing everything the right way. So we've covered pretty much every aspect of our business in terms of exchange control, financial markets acts, banks acts, money laundering acts, all of these relevant sort of legislation where you're accepting deposits and managing cryptocurrencies. And we're operating sort of as if we're a regulated business, even though to a large extent, as you say, cryptocurrencies are unregulated. But we do expect that to change in the future. We don't know how long it's going to take before regulators in South Africa and around the world make significant statements and launch significant regulation in the space. But for us, compliance is a huge focus. From day one, we've been wanting to make sure that as a business and as a client of Bitfund, we're not going to be stepping on any regulatory or legal toes in investing in cryptocurrency.
I suppose you don't want to be caught out when those regulations eventually do come.
Exactly.
Now, Josh, you mentioned, or in the press release that you issued about the launch, you said that all tax-related issues as well as exchange control are managed by Bitfund. As an investor on the platform, does this mean you report my profits and losses to the tax man?
So we don't report to the tax man directly. What we do is we make it a whole lot easier for you to do so. Because we have all the data that's necessary in terms of every trade that's ever occurred on your account, the historic value of your account, deposits, withdrawals, all of that, that's all in one centralized place. So using some of our basic reports, you can get a whole lot done in terms of reporting your taxes. If you were to compare that to, for example, my portfolio before I had Bitfund, I had assets in a million different exchanges, in a million different wallets, and to try to figure out how and what to report was an absolute nightmare. So all of that is kind of taken care of.
So at the moment, if I'm an equities trader on the JSE through a stockbroker, the stockbroker would send me a tax pack every year, which I simply forward on to SARS. So you'll be producing a similar type of tax pack, which I can just give to the tax man.
Yeah, so it will be similar. It won't necessarily be an official tax document that can go straight through, simply because things are a little bit unclear with SARS in terms of taxing of cryptocurrency profits.
Yeah.
There's nothing we can say for certain. So what we do is we'll give you a similar report that you can use to guide you.
I see. Okay. What is your understanding right now of tax compliance requirements around the crypto space? If I make a profit on your platform, what technically am I supposed to do?
From my understanding, up to date, SARS has predominantly said that they'll be taxing cryptocurrencies using all of the existing tax frameworks. Like many know, it's very important what your intention was when you were making the investment. So if you were buying Bitcoin 3 years ago and you planned to hold it forever, that sounds a lot like sort of capital gains type of investment. So you've held it for long, you haven't been actively trying to derive an income from it, and your intention there was a long-term investment. In that case, it sounds a lot like a capital gains tax, and from what I understand, that's how it would be taxed. Whereas if you're a trader and you're on an exchange all day and you're trading the different cryptocurrencies and you're actively trying to make an income off the stuff, then that's a lot more like income tax and you'd be taxed in that regard. But I obviously can't say for certain, and every situation is different. So it's always recommended to speak to sort of a tax practitioner about your unique situation.
Sure, and the situation is all quite fluid, of course, because this is such a new area. Josh, this has been a fantastic discussion. What is your website if people want to know more?
Sure, it's www.bitfund.co.za. You'll check everything out there on the website. And I always encourage people to, even if they're not going to make a deposit, just to sign up so they can see what they're in for. Like, is this something that they would want? And they can see everything that we have to offer. And then when the time comes, even if they don't want to make a deposit now, in the future, then at least they've got a Bitfund account to make that investment if they choose to in future.
Oh, so you can log in and see the dashboard and how the funds are performing, etc., without investing any money?
Yeah.
Okay, fantastic. I'm going to go and have a look as soon as we finish recording. Joshua Miltz is co-founder of Bitfund. Thank you so much for talking to Tech Central today.
Thank you for having me. It's been great.